as we stand a short prayer. Our gracious God, as we consider your word this morning, please open the eyes of our hearts to see the greatness of the King who rides on a donkey, that we might worship him and lay our lives before him afresh. Amen. Please be seated. You may like to keep that second reading before you, Matthew 21, page 988. Palm Sunday is perhaps my favourite account in all of the Gospels. We read of Jesus arriving in Jerusalem for the last time before his death and resurrection. And he comes as her king, but as a king quite unlike any other. Perhaps you can imagine the scene from the perspective of someone living in Jerusalem. You're relaxing in the garden on Sunday morning, about a week before Passover. The warm spring sun is shining on your face, and you're mulling over the scripture readings from synagogue the day before. They spoke of the Messiah, the long-promised Saviour King, who would one day set God's people free. As you're daydreaming, the sound of shouting in the distance breaks in on you. And so you call your spouse and the children, and you set off to see what's going on at the outskirts of the city. And when you get there, you see a huge crowd. Some of them are laying their cloaks on the road, others are waving palm branches, and they're shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David, and blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord." And there, in the middle of this vast acclaim, is a man, calmly and peacefully, riding on a little tiny donkey. Well, for a second you wonder what to do. Should you slip away and go back home? Or should you join the crowd? And then you call to your spouse, "You look after the kids, I'm going to cut some branches for us, we're joining in the celebration." Well, today I want to take a personal angle on Palm Sunday. Not just personal to me, but personal to all of us, I hope. I want us to see that there are parallels between the way Jesus came into Jerusalem and the way the risen Jesus comes into each of our lives. You see, the King who came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday is the same King who comes to us and stays with us as we put our faith in him. So how does he come to us? Well, first he comes as the King who knows. He comes as the King who knows all about us. Did you notice in the start of that reading, Jesus' remarkable knowledge? The first three verses. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, it's on the outskirts of the city of Jerusalem, Jesus sent two disciples saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." Remarkable knowledge. Jesus hadn't been on ahead, but he knew exactly where the donkey and her colt would be, and he knew exactly how the owner would respond to his request. And this is just part of Jesus' total knowledge of what awaited him in Jerusalem. As we read these chapters in the Gospels, one thing that strikes us is that Jesus said to his disciples at least three times, "When we get to Jerusalem, I will be betrayed and falsely condemned, mocked and crucified, and the third day I will rise." He knew exactly what the people of Jerusalem would do to him. He knew it down to the last detail. And yet in his love and bravery, he did not stay away. He still came to them as their king. And he comes to us also as the King who knows all about us. He's not ignorant of our fears and failings, of our sins and struggles. Maybe there's something that you would tell no one else. Well, he knows it all. And yet he does not stay away. In love, still he comes to each one of us and invites us into his kingdom. We can't hide anything from him, And we don't have to. He comes as the King who knows all about us. Well, the second parallel. He also comes as the King who is gentle. Riding in on a donkey, he comes as the King who is gentle. Just a few years later, the Roman Emperor Titus entered Jerusalem in the year AD 70. Now, the Emperor Titus would have entered on a mighty war horse, a powerful army to the front, and abject prisoners behind. But Jesus is quite different. He rides into Jerusalem on a colt, a little donkey. Here is a king with authoritative, miraculous power, coming on a steed fit for a child or a servant. And in this way, he declares that he is the one promised by Zechariah, the great Messiah to come. Matthew quotes part of that reading from Zechariah. In its full form, Zechariah 9:9, we heard it. It says, "See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." He is a king, but he doesn't fit into any category of kingship that the world knows. He comes as the king who is gentle. Now, gentleness in the Bible is not weakness. After all, in the next day, he clears out the temple. No, gentleness is strength used for the good of others. And in Jesus, we see this unheard-of combination of authority and kindness, power and tenderness, justice and grace, sovereignty and submission coming together. Here is the one who's king of the universe, and yet he cares for the needs of people that nobody else cares for. Here is a king who doesn't want to destroy those who reject him and rebel against him, but who gives his life so that we can be cleansed and brought into his kingdom through faith. Here is a king who comes not with an army to force people to accept him, but on a donkey to invite and urge people into his kingdom. The next verse in Zechariah 9, verse 10 says, "He will proclaim peace to the nations." The word peace there is shalom. It speaks of wholeness, of well-being. And this gentle king brings his people peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins, peace with one another in his new family, and the peace of knowing that he's with us in the midst of our struggles, and that when his kingdom comes in all its fullness, those struggles will cease. So Jesus, who came into Jerusalem on a donkey, he comes with power far exceeding that of Emperor Titus, and also with a gentleness kinder than that of the most tender mother. Here at last is a king we can trust with our lives. One man who knew the gentleness of Christ through long experience was Polycarp, Bishop of Smyrna. He was the last living link with the apostles. He'd studied under the Apostle John and gone on to reach ripe old age. In the year 168, he was called in for public trial for his Christian faith. In front of an angry crowd, the Roman governor ordered him to renounce Christ or face the consequences. And Polycarp's reply was very good. Polycarp said to the governor, 86 years have I served the Lord Jesus Christ, and never once has he wronged me. How can I blaspheme my King who saved me?" It's the testimony of one who had found that Christ had come to him as the King who is gentle, who uses his strength for our good. 86 years have I served the Lord Jesus Christ, and he never once wronged me. He comes as the King who knows all about us, the King who is gentle. One more parallel for us. He comes as the King who is both welcomed and rejected. This is about how people respond to him. He's both welcomed and rejected. So on Palm Sunday, he received a glorious welcome. Those cloaks, those branches were like a red carpet. The cries of Hosanna were fit for a king. But when he entered Jerusalem, Jesus cleared the temple. He called the chief priests and the people to turn from hypocrisy to love and reverence for God in all they did. And many found him simply too challenging. By Good Friday and the trial of Jesus, many in the crowd were calling out, "Crucify him." And they were even shouting, "We have no king but Caesar." They laid palm branches before him, but they would not lay their lives before him. And yet that is the only right response to this king. Just think for a moment about the size of the universe that God has made. The distance from the earth to the sun is 93 million miles, but the width of our galaxy is a million, million, million times that distance. The galaxy contains 300 billion stars like our sun, but our galaxy is just one of 100 billion galaxies in the observable universe. What a vast universe God has made. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the one by whom and for whom that whole universe was made. He holds it together by the word of his power. Now, when we think about it, what role would such a person come into our lives to have? This is not the kind of personage who would come into our lives to be our assistant, to do what we want him to do. He's not the kind of personage who would come into our lives to be our emergency rescue service, to do things when we want him to do them, or even to be our equal partner. No, if such a person is to come into our lives and stay in our lives, it must be as king. So this Palm Sunday at the start of Easter week, let us resolve once again, or for the first time, to lay our lives before Jesus, to recognize that every part of our lives belongs to him. There are many parts to each of our lives: family life, our personal morality, our work, our relationships, our finances, our social life. Or so easily we drift from having Christ as king of one part of life or of all of it, and we drift instead to being ruled by the ways of this world and even by sin. Well, the mark of the Christian is not that we're perfect, but that we commit and recommit and recommit and recommit every part of our lives to Christ as king, asking him to direct them as he pleases. Many in Jerusalem, although they welcomed him with glad song, would not do that, although their eternal salvation depended on it. But for those in Jerusalem and still today who did lay their lives before Christ, they found that the king who rode into their city on a donkey rode also into their hearts and lives as their gentle king. So this Palm Sunday, as every day, Christ comes to us afresh as the king who knows. He knows all about us, and still he invites us into his kingdom. And he comes as the king who is gentle, who chose to lay down his life that we might be cleansed, who uses his power only for our good. And he comes as the king who is both welcomed and rejected. So let us be those who lay not just palm branches, but all our lives in every part before him, for him to be king. I'm going to give us a moment of quiet to reflect on this, and then as a prayer, I'll read part of a favourite hymn. So, a moment of quiet. I love the hymn by Francis Havergal, a prayer really of the one who is laying their life before Christ. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Let's sing this hymn, and we could make it our own prayer, our own Palm Sunday response to the King who is gentle.